Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Brendan just asked me during the break, and we were talking about how unbelievably shocking it would have been had they lost that game. I mean, 96 yards, no timeouts, no indication at all the entire night that they could do Seattle, could do anything offensively. And then they're able to drive the field. After that sack, by the way, on that drive with the clock still running, that seemed to be game over. And then somehow they come back. They get the completion to Metcalf, his first catch of the night. And then he steps up in the A-gap under pressure and throws to a receiver wide open. And it's 17-15. If they had somehow given up a two-point conversion and lost that game, Brendan said to me during the break, he said, I don't know that they could ever have had a loss that would be comparable to that, a game that they dominated, and it felt like they should have won 31-10. And I said to him, as we bring on our guest, Santana Moss, it would have reminded me of, in reverse, the Monday Night Miracle game from 2005 when Dallas completely dominated 57 minutes of the game and led 13-0, and then all of a sudden the game completely changed. And of course, as we know, Santana Moss caught two touchdown passes from Mark Brunell, and one of the memorable games in Washington Dallas history was there and done, 14-13, incredibly. And I'm wondering, not that you would have thought about that last night, Santana, I was just thinking about it when Brendan talked to me about it during the break, but they dominated last night, and if they had given it up last night and somehow lost, it would have been one of the most shocking losses of the year. You thought they dominated the game start to finish, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But I also thought, I remember at one point in time, I was sitting there talking to B. Mitch, who was getting ready for our postgame show on NBC, and it was like, I believe Seattle had 5-3 and outs, and I'm saying to myself, okay, they have 5-3 and outs, but we're not doing anything but getting to 3rd-and-1s and trying to run the ball with a stacked box. I'm like, we have to stop being relaxed and take advantage of this game. It's time for us to go ahead and do something. And then I don't know if the coaches heard me, but they went for it on 4th down, and we clearly got a 1st down, and the refs kind of gave Seattle back some, I guess a favor from the first half, because they took I don't believe it was a conversion, but they gave us a little home cooking in the first half, so they gave it back to Seattle and took away Gibson long run. So, you know, just when we was getting ready to do something, it kind of kept the game a little closer than what we expected. And then Seattle got a breath of fresh air for that last drive, man, and tried to do something nice. You know, it would have been one of those gut-wrenching, moments, definitely, if we would have allowed that to happen. But thankfully, we didn't, man. I'm glad we got the W.
Real quickly, on the 4th-and-1 big run by Gibson when they did go for it, you didn't think that was holding on Sheriff? I mean, I forget which call. Are you talking about the DPI that they called on Jones against Logan Thomas? Sheriff, that was a bit.
Yes. Early in the first half.
Yeah.
Sheriff kind of put his arm out there. He didn't hold him at all. He pushed him down. But I guess you can look at it from different ways and say, yeah, maybe he wrapped them a little bit. it was a perfect block. I've seen that block 100 times, and it probably would never be called holding, except for that moment, you know, last night. So, you know, no, it wasn't a holding in my, you know, from my eyes.
Give me Santana Moss is joining us here on the show. Washington has won 3 in a row. They won 17-15 last night. If you're just waking up, if you fell asleep, you missed a dominant performance where the score really doesn't indicate the superior team in this game and how superior they were, and yet they were on the verge, incredibly, of potentially giving up that lead late on a 96-yard drive and a 30-yard touchdown pass by Russell Wilson. So give me the things that – because I know you're a part of the post-game show, right, on the NBC Sports Washington post-game show. Give me the 2, 3, 4 things that stood out for you from this game.
Well, some of the things that stood out to me is that we controlled the clock. That's one of the things I said on the pregame show, you know, with 980. I'm like, hey, you know, they gave me, you know, they asked me how did Washington win. And I said, you know, I want to see them be able to control the clock as we have the past 2 weeks. We were able to run the ball and get chunks of yards and be able to close games out. We did that. We controlled the clock. The other thing that stood out was we got lackadaisical in the third quarter. You know, we didn't take advantage of opportunities. I mean, we had these guys ready to go home, pack their bags and say, hey, you know, it's over. They were 0-for-5 in the third quarter with 3 and outs. I mean, we could have just went out there and did something and made a play. Any given player that we had, because all those guys was out there making plays, we could have gave them the ball to make a play. We didn't do that. And then the last thing was losing our field goal kicker kind of really, I think, handicapped us, because that was a point in the game when we were getting all those yards, we wasn't confident in who we had to back up to say, okay, we can go out here and just get 3. Instead of that, we was trying to get 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, 3rd and 1, just to, you know, keep those drives going so we can try to get touchdowns. So those 3 things to me stood out, and I think that caused us to be in the thick of things that late in the game.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. The 2-point conversion that they made to make it 17-9 ultimately was perhaps the biggest play of the game, because without the kicker, they still mm-hmm. weren't going to kick it on the other end. If it had been 15-9, and a touchdown pass at the end would have given them the lead if you don't make that 2-point conversion. I want to ask you, Ron said very definitively after the game, nope, we did not have a kicker, we did not have an option, we did not have a contingency plan on the kicker. A 20-yard field goal there at the end, the ball's at the 3-yard line to ice the game. Were you surprised that they didn't put Tress Way out there with Kyle Allen holding it to kick, you know, a 20-yard field goal that you could probably kick?
You know, I made a comment then. I saw Wes Welker make one of those a few times with the Dolphins, and I saw Ocho Cinco make one in Cincinnati. So I definitely believe that any kicker that can kick, especially if you can kick off, you can make that. But, you know, we started to realize, man, that, you know, kicking field goals, kicking extra points, that is not as easy as it seems. And I think Trust made a comment saying last night that he told the coaches that he can make a 20-yarder, but he wasn't sure about a 30-yarder. So I think they was going off of him not being confident. But
that was a 20-yarder. I didn't hear. By the way, that's news to me. I did not hear that Tress Way told him he could make a 20-yarder. That's a 20-yarder from the 3-yard line.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what reason, but I feel we had the momentum. And I still think Logan scored that touchdown. I know the ball hit the ground. But if you give the guy from the Browns the other night the touchdown when that ball hit his knee and hit the ground, then Logan Thomas' touchdown last night was definitely a touchdown. So, it plays like that, man. When you're playing those close games and you leave it up to the refs, you leave yourself, you know, out there vulnerable. And I think we had too much going for us to even leave it to the refs for that last drive. So, you know, we escaped the tough one, man. And I'm glad we on the other side of things, because normally, you know, the years I played, we was the team that's, you know, leaving with our heads down.
Yeah, a lot of times we're talking to Santana Moss. I was a little bit surprised it got overturned as well. I don't know if New York had a different view. They showed one last view at the end that they said was the determining factor. I was surprised. It seemed to me he had either hand or wrist underneath the ball. And even though it was moving, you know, that's supposed to be a catch. And that, to me, was a hard one to overturn since the call on the field was a touchdown. We're talking to Santana Moss. Let's get to... you know, the conversation, which it always is around here, and it really is right now as it relates to this team, and that is the starting quarterback right now, Taylor Heinicke. I don't need you to weigh in right this moment on what you think he is future-wise, but what has he been the last three games, and what was he last night for you?
He's been phenomenal. I think when you think about it, I asked him last night, you know, what has it been these past few weeks? He looks totally different from the games going into the bye. And he said things that have definitely slowed down for him. And, you know, I also believe, too, if you think about it, it was at a point of time when, you know, Ron was trying to ask him to manage football games. That's not his game. His game is to, you know, do things with his legs and get outside the pocket and make things happen. And he shown us in that playoff performance last year. That's why we was in that game against Tampa, because Taylor Heinicke was able to, you know, he escaped pressure and found guys downfield and did stuff that, you know, Fitzmagic was doing, you know, elsewhere. So you can clearly see that things have slowed down, and now he's starting to anticipate some of those throws. I think that's a big thing that I've been watching, you know, as a receiver. You know, I used to hate when I come out of my break and I see the quarterback still loading up to throw me the ball. I'm not open then. I like to come out of my break and ball up in the air, and now I have to react to the ball. And you see Taylor now anticipating those guys, you know, separating from those defenders and throwing the ball on time in a timely fashion. And I think that gives those ball catchers, you know, ample time now to react, catch the ball, make a move, and make a play. And that's truly something that I've been watching. But he's definitely been a spark plug these past few games. And I think he has to continue on this trajectory for us to, you know, even be talking about, you know, postseason, because we have an opportunity. But it's up to those guys to take advantage of it.
On the deep shot, just curious, on the deep shot to Terry in the first half, I thought that ball was catchable for him. Did you or not?
Yeah, you know, it'd be like that sometimes. I mean, Terry has been so clutch, man, and you know, he's coming down with everything almost. And, you know, as a receiver, I'll be the first to tell you, sometimes, no matter how good you're living, man, sometimes you just miss a few like that. And he's been one of those guys I make, you know, little, you know, small comments about saying Terry is living right, because it seems like everything he touches, you know, he brings down. And it just, you know, games like that, you can easily, you know, miss one. So I'm pretty sure he's pissed about it, because he's one of those guys, man. He's a perfectionist. And I've talked to him numerous times, you know, about some of these plays he's coming down with. And he doesn't sleep well at night. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be looking at that like I did once when I was a player. You know, I used to go home and have that game recorded. And I never watched the whole game. I just watched the things that I didn't do right. And I will watch it just before the team watches. I'll watch it at home just so I can make the correction in my head and say I can't do that anymore, you know. And I'm sure Terry's doing that tonight, or he did that last night, and he's going to, you know, move forward on it.
All right, back to Heinicke again as we're talking to Santana Moss. So what's the big picture on him in your mind? Do you think that they have their starting quarterback moving forward, not just for the rest of the year, but next year and beyond?
No, I won't say. I'm not going to be the guy to say that. I think, man, he shows you that he's definitely a NFL quarterback. And I'm happy that we have him on our side, because I think we can see we can expect a lot more of this, what we're seeing now from Heinicke, you know, in the future. But I also would say I would like to see how he finishes this season. You know, if Heinicke make this thing what he's doing now and make it a run, and we find ourselves, you know, having a chance at the postseason, then you can't deny him from, you know, having a chance to really be a starter next year. But I think you have to just give him the opportunity to play the season out and see what he gives you. You know, right now is a great time to really be hitting on all cylinders. And I think our team as a whole is definitely doing that offensively and defensively. You know, it's funny to me just to watch our defense that, you know, right before the bye, we started changing some things around with players and we started looking different. And now we're missing two of our best guys on our D-line, and these guys are going out there and playing phenomenal. So it's just funny how you change a couple of things and things start working in your favor. So I truly want to see these guys finish this season out, and then we'll probably be able to have a verdict on Heineke.
Okay, I'll pass on that conversation, and we'll do this another time on him, because I agree with you. The bottom line is, and Rivera has said this over and over again, I don't have to make up my mind right now. You know, we still have seven games left. We still have eight games left. Now we have six games left. And, you know, the thought 2 weeks ago of the possibility of Kyle Allen potentially playing if they had lost to Tampa Bay, well, that's done and over with. He's played well enough to earn the rest of the season at the very least for, let's just call it, an audition. But back to the defense and your comment that you just made. So why do you think over the last two games in particular, three games really, that they've played their best football defensively without their two perceived stars?
Well, one of the reasons that's standing out to me, I think even with those guys in the lineup, they was just starting to play together. You know, I've been a guy that I watch defenses because, you know, you happen to go against them so much, you know, throughout my career. The defenses that give you problems are the ones that have each other's back. You know, they're not saying, hey, I got to go out here and make a play. And I think earlier in the season, we have so many star studs out there on that D-line that those guys are out there just trying to go out there and win, you know, beat their guy and make a play. And you can't win games that way, or you can't, you know, dominate as a team or as a unit by being an individual. You have to understand that, You know, one of the things I've always asked, you know, Fred Smoot, or sometimes when we just talk and he tells me, I say, Fred, you know, how did you guys communicate and let each other know when you saw different, you know, formations from the receivers when we got in bunch and you might have had a man-to-man call? He said, you know, we would give each other eye contact and say, okay, we have a bunch set right now. I'm not going to be able to follow this guy who's on the outside across the field if he decides to go to the other side of the field. So I would let my, you know, other guy know that, hey, if he gives me one of those switch, you have to catch this guy, and I'll take your guy. And when I'm watching our defensive line and I'm watching our defense at the whole in the secondary and up front, those guys weren't playing together. And now you're starting to see these guys playing together. So I'm not saying just with those guys who are being out and Chase Young and Sweat, you know, now they're starting to play better. They were absolutely changing things, too, with those two guys, but it just kind of happened to where both of them are out, and now the other guys that getting the chance to go out there and play, they have no choice but to play together because they want to go out there and make a difference and let the coaches know that maybe that they can be one of these guys that we call on, you know, down the road.
We're talking to Santana Moss. Last question for you. Actually, two more. Real quickly, how bad was Russell Wilson for 58 minutes of this game until that final drive?
Oh, man. He was bad, man. He was bad, but one of the things that I can always say about Russ, you know, and I, that's one of the reasons why I was sitting there biting my nails the entire night. It's bigger than Russ. The defense is atrocious, and the offensive line is, oh, my God, horrendous.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw the entire game, that Russ, and then also he's rusty. You know, he missed, 4 weeks because he had a broken hand. And I remember missing 4 weeks when I broke my hand, and I almost felt like I couldn't catch anymore. My hand was there. The balls were touching my hand, and I just couldn't grip it. I couldn't grip the ball right. So I believe that's going to take some time, especially being a quarterback. He touches the ball, you know, every moment in that game, you know, as a quarterback, and he just doesn't have what he had right before, you know, he went out. But I think it's a bigger picture that you know, most people might see when you're not looking at Russ, that his team just isn't what it used to be. And it's going to be interesting to see how things go forward when it comes to Russ, man. You know, he might be a guy. You never know. He might be a guy on the, you know, that's out there available for Washington to look at when it comes to quarterbacks. But I don't want to speak too soon. But I know Russ, he will get himself together, man. It's not all on his shoulders, put it like that.
We got people right now, and you know this, in our fan base, that if Russ Wilson was available and said, yeah, I'll play in Washington, they wouldn't take him because they think Heinicke right now is a better quarterback, and there's no doubt he played better last night. All right, last one. Where is this headed? Three wins in a row. They're back in the hunt for a wild card. They may be back in the hunt for a division, given Dallas's issues with COVID and injuries and everything else. Yeah. Where do you think this heads over the final 6 weeks? Give me your gut feel.
I wish I could tell you something spicy for your fans to say, man, yeah, I'm riding with Tanner, but I'm going to tell you like I've been saying these past 2 weeks. I'm very superstitious, and I believe right after the bye, you know, when I was asked, do I see this team turning things around, and I said, you know what? I'm from Missouri, and they have to show me because I just lost my confidence in sitting there trying to say this team is better than what they were showing us. And I guess they heard me. I guess they was pissed off. You know, I do a couple of shows there, you know, and I'm sure that they saw the podcast when I said that. And so each week since the bye, these guys have basically went out there and showed me. And I think I'm going to have that, you know, kind of, you know, look at things going forward. Every week's going to get even tougher, and especially when we get into our division play those last 5 weeks. So they have to go out there with the same mindset. I don't know what changed, but I you know, we all said it. When that bye came, it was perfect timing because everyone needs to get away, exhale, watch some extra tape of themselves, and look at themselves in the mirror and say, hey, is this what I want to put out there on film? You know, one of the things that I've always said as a player, film don't lie. And regardless of what happens, win, lose, or draw, 89 cannot look bad. And so some of those guys must be did those gut checks. Some of those guys did that, you know, that look in the mirror and say, hey, I have to play better. And you're seeing that as a whole. So each week, I think these guys have to continue to just show me. I'm not going to never diss them or say that I'm not riding with them because, you know, I believe in burning and gold. But I'm not going to ever sit there and go on a limb and say, I believe they can do this and do that because they have to do that because they're the only ones can go out there and play the game. I'm just talking now.
Great to catch up. Hope you're well. We'll talk soon.
Always. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Santana Moss, everybody. We'll open the phone lines back up. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your BetQL listener lines are open. Your reaction to the 17-15 win last night over Seattle. That's three wins in a row. And I'll give you a quick recap of my game take when we return as well. Before we do that, though, home values are skyrocketing. That means right now is the best time to take some cash out of your home equity. Call Loan Pronto now. They can fast track your home refi and get you a check for 50, 60, 70 grand or more. And if you call now, Loan Pronto can even pay your closing costs. It's so easy, and you walk away with a big check. Get cash out now and pay off your high-interest credit cards. Imagine being credit card debt-free for the new year, or consolidate other loans, pay for holiday expenses, get your finances in great shape for 2022. Lots of people are getting cash out of their equity right now to fix up their home, new kitchen, new bathroom. Listen, your home value's way up, and you can get a new mortgage rate with an APR in the twos. Now's the time to access that equity while rates are still very low. Loan Pronto's refis can close in 2 weeks, and the process is so easy. Call Loan Pronto now. Put that equity in your home to work towards financial freedom. Do it now. You can even skip your next two house payments altogether. Call 571-775-1810. That's 571-775-1810. 571-775-1810. 1810. Loan Pronto is an equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval. Not all loans apply. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.